Good morning. Welcome to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is John. Say good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to get to him in just a second. Welcome to UKN Studios. If you have not gone to spiritualwarfareunit.com and checked out what we're doing, do that. If you know anybody that's struggling with food or clothes or alcoholism or drug rehabilitation and need help, you go down there, click on struggling. You go down there, see our people help with baby formula, food, clothes, whatever it is, and you get to be the person that gets to help somebody. So if you haven't checked that out, check that out. We also check out John's website at weareemmanuel.life, weareemmanuel.life, to check out what they're doing. All right, I plugged your stuff. How are we doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. So John is my buddy who happens to be a pastor. We're not going to hold that against him, even though we probably should. And you have two locations, correct? One in Davison, or no, one in Flint and one in Grand Blanc. But the one in Flint's really close to Davison, and the one in Flint is close to Grand Blanc. It's weird, right?
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so we're going to get into why you're doing that. But before we do that, I want people to get to know you. So
okay.
Where are you from originally?
I was born in the Detroit area, and I grew up in the Detroit area. I lived in Warren most of my life, so.
Okay, so what year?
I'm an old guy,
man. Yeah, I know. We just want to know the year.
73,
October 4. I want to make sure they had colored cameras back then.
Yeah, they probably didn't.
Right.
Black and white TVs, all that good stuff.
Yeah, right. You could still hit it, and it would work properly.
Yeah, a little bit.
The tin foil.
Yeah.
All right. So 1973. All right. And then what area did you grow up? Where was the suburbs? Was downtown?
Yeah, Detroit? Suburbs. We lived in the city until I was 5 years old, and then we moved into Warren. So,
all right. So what did your mom and dad do?
My dad was a supervisor at the post office.
Okay.
And so he had different opportunities there, different locations. Sterling Heights was the main part of it.
And he never went postal?
Not a funny story. I was actually at a basketball tournament my senior year when that all happened.
No kidding.
Basketball coach came up to me. We were out of town. We were in Wisconsin. He comes up to me. He's like, John, I just want you to know there's a shooting at the post office. That's how he led with it.
Well, that was a start off.
That was a start off. And then he said, but just so you know, your dad's okay. I'm serious.
I think I would have liked that guy.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because your heart went.
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy.
Wow.
He was on 2020, though.
No kidding.
Serious. He was on 2020 for all that.
Because it happened where?
Well, it happened. What was his? It happened in Royal Oak at the headquarters, but it was one of the main supervisors in Sterling Heights. They actually interviewed him. He could have been in Royal Oak that day, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So he had to manage that whole insane process.
He was part of it. Yeah. Not the only guy, but
yeah. Man, that's nuts. Okay. So, and your mom, what'd she do?
My mom was a homemaker. She took care of the home. Very traditional.
So, and you're Italian, right?
Yes, sir.
This dude eats pizza like nobody's business, right? You know. When there's a large, you're getting two or three pieces. That's what. And then you're like, here, eat the bread so you don't eat the bread. But you really want to eat the bread?
Yeah, I eat pizza like...
I don't know how you stay so thin. I swear.
I am not very thin. I just hide it really well.
Well, the camera only adds a couple hundred pounds, so it'll be fine.
There you go. No, I ate pizza yesterday.
Of course you did. So, grew up Italian. Mom obviously is a good cook then.
My mom is not Italian, so that's
Dad's Italian.
My dad's fully Italian. My mom is Russian and German.
Ooh.
So I always used to joke around that I'm a fascist, a Nazi, and a communist all rolled up into one.
That explains so many things. Now I get it.
My mom's a good cook, though. My grandma taught her really well.
It's a DNA thing.
Yeah, it's a DNA thing.
Nice. All right, so you're growing up, and what county were you? Troy?
No, it was Macomb County.
Macomb County, okay. Yeah. So that's one of the higher, better suburbs outside of very nice here. Macomb's really nice here.
Macomb's
what
nice.
What mile were you at?
Oakland is even nicer, though.
Yeah.
So we lived in three different locations in Warren, 10 mile in Grosbeck,
yeah,
12 in Hoover, and then 14 in Hoover. So,
right, so you just got getting better and better.
Yes.
All right.
Basically.
Yeah, because like the 10 mile area is the, you know, average 50, 60,000 home. Then the 12 is like the 80, 90,000. And then 14's like the, that's the, yeah, the better
it,
ones.
It was better, but.
Yeah. So you're a rich kid, man.
I was not a rich kid, man. I was not a rich kid. I was a cool kid, but not a rich kid.
I had to throw that out there. Yeah. Why not? All right. So anything in like elementary school or as growing up that really cemented in your mind, like to help make your mind who you are? Like, because you're a very like decisive person. You make decisions like, boom, that's the answer. Like, was that just the way you were? Is there something like as you were growing up when you were younger that helped mold that part of your brain? Or is it just the parents, the school and all that? Just,
well, my mom is very organized and structured. So mm-hmm. that was something that I got from her. She was very almost OCD in her nature. So that mm-hmm. was something that kind of she translated over to me. My father is more of a gregarious, outgoing guy. So I got some of that, not as much as you, but you know, I got some of that from him. And so, some of those things, I definitely received from my parents. My dad's way more extroverted. My mom's way more introverted. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of a blend of both. I guess they call that an omnivert. And so that's
omnivert.
Yeah. Instead of an extrovert and an introvert.
So you just got it all. Is that what we're trying to
get? Yeah,
is that
what I'm trying to say?
I'm not saying that you're high on yourself. I'm saying there's a chance. No. So you just kind of grew up in that environment. Cause it's the story. Your story is interesting because most people have like this dramatic thing that happened and then that turns them towards the direction. But you didn't have that. It was just kind of this like your dad situation. We'll get into in a little, you know, on that. And then that kind of drove that direction. But it's kind of neat because that was growing up. They're just regular parents. Work yeah. hard.
Yeah.
You know,
very blue collar, very hardworking, very traditional in that sense.
Very normal, like very nothing unique or no Bible thumpers or nothing like
yeah,
that.
There was just very little drama in my household. It was pretty, pretty normal as far as that goes with me. My
well, see,
sister,
here's
that's
my
another
thing.
Story.
The people say that there was not drama in their house and they say that's normal. Do not know that drama is the normal,
yeah,
and it was
yeah.
abnormal to not have trauma. Yeah. So that's like a real tip of the cap to the parents there, right?
Yeah. My parents were very involved in my life. They supported me in different things, including and mainly when I played baseball and things mm-hmm. like that. So,
and you were a pretty decent athlete, right?
I was a great athlete.
Wow. Here it comes.
No, I was so I grew up playing baseball yeah. from about 8 or 9 years old all the way through part of college and so that was a sport I was pretty good at. The other mm-hmm. sports, like basketball and soccer, I mainly played just to stay in shape. I was not all that great in either of those sports.
But baseball was the one on the eye hand coordination there?
Yeah, I just grew up, you know, I was in that era where opening day, and it was, now it's East Point, it was East Detroit back then.
Yeah.
And there'd be a couple thousand people, and, you know, just a big deal. So I grew up in the era where baseball was still really a big thing, and so I love baseball.
I think it's one of those excellent things to teach kids how to get along with other kids and you get to get outside, you get exercise, you learn how to work on as a team.
Yeah.
Like I find that very educational to kids because a lot of people don't know how to be social.
Yeah.
They don't know how to communicate. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's all right. So in your younger years, you're just growing up, living life. Everything's kind of is what it is. And then like what schools were you going to? Like between 0 and 10, 0 and 10.
Yeah, so it all connects to our churches that we were a part of.
Yeah.
So the first church that we were a part of was in the city of Detroit, and they had a school there that I went to through first grade. It was called Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle, the school. So it was an ACE. I know, it's a crazy name.
That's a long one.
I know, it's a long one. It was an ACE education system, which was
What's that
not,
mean, ACE?
So I don't remember exactly what it stands for, but it has this idea of you, instead of having teachers, you have monitors. And basically, they give you these booklets called PACES.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You kind of go at your own quote-unquote pace.
Right.
And but how many, like, five-year-olds are motivated, right?
I would be the one kid that would be like, I got to get through this. A, B, C, B, A, C, 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 B, B, A.
Yeah, well, I was the kid who was not motivated to do anything. So when we ended up moving from that church to a different church, and then I got put into a different Christian school,
yeah,
I struggled.
So you went to Christian school your whole life?
I did, yeah. I was a Christian school brat my whole life, which is ironic because as a youth
pastor. So was I. Look how that turned out.
Yeah. Which is ironic because as a youth pastor, I was very, very connected to the public schools and outreach and all those things. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, here I am, sweetheart. that's funny because your experience was so like your family fit in with that whole functional core and group and all that stuff.
Well, in the 70s and early 80s, like everyone was putting their kids in the Christian schools when they came to Christ. And so there was a real fear of the public schools. And so that became, you know, the real focus of my life back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So Ramon 10, you're going there. And then like what happened like from 11 to like 15, what was your any experiences in that time frame there that you were dealing with?
Yeah, so in that time period, I started getting involved in the youth ministry that our church was a part of, and by then I was playing early high school baseball. So all those things were really
impactful. Were you like involved in church? Like,
yeah, so the like youth group was a big thing for me because my parents really believed that was important. So when I was playing Little League baseball, matter of fact, on Wednesday nights, they'd only let me play like half the game. Then I would go to my youth group. So,
They pull you out of the game?
Yeah, they pulled me out of the game, which at the time I had a hard time with. But I look back on it now, and I really look at it as what I call a spiritual marker. Like, I'm glad.
Really?
I'm really glad that they did that because it really taught me some priorities in my life, you know? So I continued to play baseball, but I also was involved in my youth ministry. So by the time 11 to 15, you know, this whole adolescence thing was happening. But I was a little different than most guys, man.
Yeah, were you like fighting with your dad during that? Most guys get that.
Yeah, you know how it is. You hit 13 and you know everything.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
The information I lost from 13 to 25 was immense.
It's incredible, right? Yeah. So I knew everything. And so it was not so much with my dad. With my mom, we would butt heads a little bit. So
really? So the introvert was the one that you always fight with the one you're most like.
Right? Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But yeah, I was really involved in their youth ministry and playing baseball. And, you know, but I was a different kind of guy because like, you know, of course I was attracted to girls, but I was consumed with sports.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing that drove me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a University of Michigan fan.
Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're not going to. And when did that love start? Cause it's annoyingly there. like, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Michigan won, and it doesn't matter what season it is. You're like, well, you know, the hockey team's really good. This is the best I've ever seen. Oh, you know, the basketball team. And it's like, what were you doing? I was like, sleeping. I have no idea. Yeah. And that rivalry is there. Like, this is deep for you.
Yeah, it started when I was like in fourth or fifth grade.
All right. Why? Like,
well, I just started. My dad introduced me to watching sports, and I really enjoyed the sport of football, watching it.
Okay. So it was based off of that was that Tom Brady greasy time, yeah?
Well, I mean, ironically, the very first quarterback I ever watched was Jim Harbaugh.
Mm.
So it's crazy. He's their coach, obviously, now. And
yeah.
That was the first game I ever went to. We beat Iowa and rushed the field. I mean, I did not. Because I was like 11.
I like how you're like, we.
That's right. And my uncle wouldn't let me because I was with him. But,
yeah,
you know. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love seeing a guy hit another guy legally and, you know.
All so you're
things.
A violent person. That is an excellent place to take a break. If you've not gone to weareemmanuel.life to check out what he's doing, please do that. If you haven't gone to Spiritual Warfare Unit to check out how to help somebody, please do that. Sit tight. We'll be right back. Taking a quick break from our podcast, I wanted to let you know about our life application program that we have for churches and nonprofits in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in. You go to spiritualwarfareunit.com. You click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program. All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week, daughters were calling, so we had to check. So, being a good dad. And as we finished our last session, we're here with John from Emmanuel. And he finished up with, he likes to smash people, so it's kind of good that you're checking on your daughter. But she enjoyed that. So, she's getting ready to graduate, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. And it's amazing. You know, I was just saying this to my buddy the other day. I was like, the days go by slow and the years just click by quick.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like when you say that to somebody when they're young, they're like, what are you talking about? And you're like, dude, you just don't understand.
Don't understand. Right? Yeah. You can say it all you want to.
Yeah. All right. So you're a young kid. And this fascination with your football thing, like when you're an all-in person, this is a life thing. Like this, you bring it up in the sermons, on your downtime, hey, we got to go to game and hang out and do all that stuff, and it's something you enjoy to do, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring John on, and I'm introducing him as my friend who happens to be a pastor, is because sometimes people forget pastors are people, and they just need people. You know, they need to be, you got to be normal too sometimes, you know, and you have feelings.
I do.
I was surprised because I figured that was one of the things that aren't necessary. Yeah. You're just there to meet my needs when I have problems. Yeah. And I couldn't believe that maybe you had a couple problems. It's weird, you know. So we're going to get, that's what gave us this friendship in the ministry. So, but we'll get to that. So we're just finishing up. You beating up guys and you like watching people beat each other up. Jim Harbaugh, rushing the field with the uncle.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're 13, 14. You went to Christian school. So like, did you always know you're going to go to, like, Christian college? Like, that kind of thing? Like, that path was kind of set?
Or was No, I wasn't even thinking about that back then.
Okay. So you go to high school, and you won a couple state championships with baseball, right?
Yeah. So we were a part of the Michigan Association of Christian Schools, as you know.
Mm.
And We won two different state titles in baseball. We were in the state championship game 4 years in a row. Actually, 7 years in a row, dating back to before me and after me.
And I want to tell you how much I appreciate when I told you we won a state championship that you checked with several people to really see if I was as good as I said I was. I want you to know that was – I like the fact that you verified. Okay. And let's take that as maybe you weren't – the reason why you won. That's all I'm saying. So,
yeah, well, you know, I just...
You were part of the team. Like, some people got to carry the equipment. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
And what was your position, by the way?
So, I was an infielder. I played third base my junior year. My freshman year, I played second base. And my senior year, I played shortstop.
Wow.
So, I went out of order on that. Freshman, second. Sophomore, second. Junior, third.
Nobody actually cares about shortstop. The order.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make you feel cool for
Yeah. No, I was pretty good, man.
Yeah, no. What was your overall batting average like?
So I batted about 490.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, man.
We were pretty good baseball.
Clearly.
Yeah. You guys were pretty good in basketball and soccer, but
not baseball. No, we were not good.
Yeah.
And you guys beat us endlessly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, rivals going in there. All right. So, you get out of high school. Anything in the years of high school, like freshman to senior year, you're doing sports, you're doing really good. That's your life process. Anything in there that happened that, like, really helped mold the direction you ended up going?
Yeah. I mean, my youth pastor has had a profound impact on my life. My first youth pastor, him and I were not alike all that much. He was into volleyball and wrestling, and I don't really care about those sports. But... Mm-hmm. He had a profound moment with me about my, you know, connection into ministry. Do you want me to tell that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's your story, bro.
Yeah. So what?
Cool story, bro.
Yeah. So what happened was he had taken a church as a lead pastor up in Frederick, Michigan, so up north.
Mm-hmm.
And so between my junior and senior year, a good friend of mine, my best friend actually, we went up there to see him for a week and help him run a vacation Bible school, since that's what he would do with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would do it in the morning, and then in the evening we'd prep for the next day. And so one night we were driving into the little ho-dunk town that had like one store. But we were driving, and my friend was in the back, and I was in the front. And he said to me, he said, hey, John, have you ever thought about going into the ministry? And I remember saying distinctly to him that I don't feel called to the ministry, because I always felt like it was this like lightning bolt out of heaven that's got to strike you kind of thing.
Yeah. A lot of people think that.
Yeah, so that's kind of where it was. You know, I never had this walking down the aisle crying moment in church.
But it was the seed that was planted, that question.
Yes, well, the next question is the one that really changed my life in a lot of ways. He said, have you ever thought about volunteering for the ministry? And I just had never thought about that. Mm-hmm. I never considered – it sounds simplistic, but I never thought about that. So – that really got the ball rolling in my heart and mind. And I literally
How old were you when that happened?
So I would have been between 16 and 17.
Okay.
So you know, at that point, like I was planning on going to college and majoring in business, and I was going to make money and own a business and all that kind of stuff. That was really my thought process. And then when he asked me that question, it sent my brain into a spiral. And so then the next youth pastor I got, and this is the funny part, like he was just like me, a huge Michigan fan. Matter of fact, he had a Bo Schembechler statue in his house.
We're not worthy. I could just see it.
But the thing about him,
you guys have like cloaks with.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No, but he was. He was so. So when you hear me preach, the passion and energy and everything that I give, that's from learning it from him. Like he just impacted me in such a way.
Yeah.
Through his motivational style of preaching and passion.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two guys, they really kind of. God really used them to redirect my path.
All right. And this kind of leads into why I wanted you to come on. Well, first you said I wanted to come on, and I didn't want to have you on because, like, people see things from a perspective of, oh, well, he's a pastor, so you couldn't, God forbid you guys had a good time and made jokes, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like, the thing about you that was nuts when we first started looking at places to go was that you didn't care what people wore. Like, that was such a weird thing for me because normally it's like, you know, You gotta dress your best. Like we're going to Sears, you know, and like I was so turned off from that lifestyle. I'd walked away from stuff because of that. It's like, well, you don't fit in. And I was like, well, you don't understand not fitting in. There's a whole genre of us people that like are good people and want to help people. And you're saying I don't fit in because I don't look like you. Like that's the, and like, how did you get, were you always like, because you grew up in that whole vein, right? So you had the penny loafers and the tan pants and the collared shirts and the short hair and all that, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you were like, yeah, where would just show up?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, that was one of those things that was like, wow, that's weird. Like, literally my wife, this is actually funny. The reason why we started coming to your church was this, one of the ushers had a head tattoo. And she come walking in, and my wife's like, we're staying here. And I'm like, why? She's like, look at that guy. And she was like, this is our plate. That's literally, there's not like a theological thing where you're like, oh, well, we had the classes. And what? That guy had a head tattoo. So we just like, and that's where it was her pointing that out. And then getting to know you as a human being, like you're passionate and caring and you know, bringing that in there. And it, all that grew like, with the ministries that happened and where did that come from?
Yeah, so.
Because you didn't get taught that, man.
No, I know. So my parents got saved. The story of my parents getting saved is awesome. They got saved right before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up, you know, eventually putting us into a more conservative church. And I would say, I don't want to be critical of my upbringing because the church I grew up in, there was a lot of awesome things about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, clearly I never really fit. Like I have a close friend even to this day who's a pastor and he's very conservative. And back when I was like 13, he'd be like, Scally, you're just an evangelical. And I'd be like, an Eva what? I don't even know what that is, you know? And but I never really fit in because I listened to contemporary Christian music back when I was 13, you know?
Oh, that devil music.
That devil music, Glad. You ever heard of them? I mean, that evil a cappella music. Yeah. But, you know, that kind of stuff. And I never really fit in with the dress either. I hated wearing ties and suits. I still to this day hate ties.
So that's just part of your personality.
Yeah. So, but the thing for me is like, I am very, I'm very transparent. And when it comes to the Bible, like I don't want to add anything.
Right.
And so I never understood why dress codes matter, you know, in churches.
So this is something that you were like, I see this and I'm not 100% on board with that.
Yeah, I never was good with it, but I never knew anything different. So the first couple of youth ministries I was in, I didn't have a choice. It was kind of the culture, and I didn't know anything different.
Yeah. Like, I remember having penny loafers, and someone gave me crap that I put a nickel in there.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And I'm like, I didn't have a penny.
Yeah.
You remember back in the day, the penny loafers, the JCPenney penny loafers were the shoe, right?
Yeah.
And he wanted those like dark purple ones, right? Those are the ones that went well with everything, right? And it's like you got so concentrated in what you looked like, you forgot to actually be a good person. And I don't think anybody did that on purpose. I think that's the osmosis of just fitting in and being a part of a group. what we're doing is working. So if you want to work with it, you got to do what we do to get there. And it's an easy, like every, I can do it. You can do it. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's what happened.
Yeah. That's what happens at a lot of churches. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, when you didn't do that, I was like, wow, this is like a normal human being. It's weird.
Yeah.
And then like when you were talking about the football thing and the Michigan thing, it was like, you're an actual normal person.
Yeah.
Like I didn't see, because a lot of times when people look at their pastor, like, oh, that's the pastor. And oh my gosh. And they're doing this. And we got to have these friends and this friends and do these things and do that thing. And I never felt that. Like I know people have that. There's cliques in churches and likes and dislikes and all that stuff. But like, I would just come up to you and go, I have this ministry thing going on. And you'd be like, yeah, okay. I don't like that. Okay. And I got this ministry. Oh, all right. I like that. We'll talk about it here. Write a proposal and we'll see what happens. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was just the opportunity door was there. Right.
Yeah.
And it just came across. And then when I had a real fight and I was alone, you stood, mm-hmm. which shocked me.
Yeah.
And you know, like I had all the bullets in the gun. We were ready. We're going to war. We're doing our thing. We won, mm-hmm. which was great. But it was like, it was a cemented thing in my mind and going through doing jail ministry. One of the things I realized is like, I have to deal with pastors down to jail all the time back then. Right. And it was like, these dudes get stressed out too. And we would sit in the office and they would just unload just things that they were going on. And I realized, I was like, man, these guys need somebody to talk to. And that's what actually spurred me to go, hey, John, you want to go out and eat? And we'll talk about,
yeah,
you know, and then you, and he tries to steal the check. Okay. And this is an irritation because he knows that I don't have any depth perception. And so he'll hold it in front of me in the midair. So I got to kind of swat at it like a cat, which I do because I'm an idiot. And then he gets extra laughs about it. Makes him a very nice person.
The waitress always looks at us like we're a bunch of idiots because we're fighting over who pays.
Yep. Yeah, because like the first three times we went out and I was like, yes. And you're like, what are you like excited for? And I was like, I got to pay. And you're like, oh, that's what this is. And then it became a thing. If I'd have just kept my mouth shut.
Dude, I'm so competitive.
Because you were so competitive. And I love that part about you. So like when we get back from this next break, we're going to get in a couple of funny stories, but we're going to get in the college years and the finding factors and moving forward. If you haven't gone to weareemmanuel.life, please check that out. You can also go to eflint.org. There's an app. And please check out our spiritualwarfareunit.com for inspirational thoughts, helps, and helping other people. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
I'm really impressed with the teachings that Isaac has been bringing to us, as this is all based from Proverbs.
I like it because it's simple. And it doesn't matter who you are. It's very easy to understand and apply to your life.
You know, it points out, you know, my bad parts and, you know, but it's showing me how to do the good parts. And, you know, I'm trying to apply that and, you know, make a better life for myself because I'm tired of where I've been.
It's impacted a lot of the guys as they continue to talk and ask questions after the meetings as they speak to one another regarding the meeting and the messages. And the topics that are being brought up, which are down-to-earth topics of situations and things that we live with on a day-to-day basis.
He takes the Bible and he breaks it down into simple terms and where you can understand. And like I said before, a lot of churches, even the Salvation Army sometimes, we start using these big words that people don't understand. Like even saying someone got saved. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say someone got saved? And it's accepting Jesus into your heart. So it's like words like that we use that people don't understand.
It's just very interesting how he points out, you know, the different things of, you know, the sin part. And then he comes back with the, you know, how to make it better. And he just points it out. It's there. You know, I didn't know all this stuff was in there. But now that he's pointing it out, it's like, wow, you know, I guess if you really dig into the Bible, you find these things.
This is a daily moral standards that we can live by that the teachings are coming from. And honestly, we can take verse by verse as what he's done, and pretty much he's done the hard work for us and now laying it out so that we have an easier understanding.
There's some people who don't like to be in Bible classes, but this one seems to get their attention.
And I was like, no way. The people that are talking about breaking the rules use their fingers to speak to each other. And that's what gangs do to communicate from point A to point B. It's almost like this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years. And people feel like it's a new thing. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That things that are happening in your life today are in here from 2,000 years ago. That's very weird. You love me too much and let me stay this way.
Welcome back to the Warrior's Way. We were just talking about an ancient phone. So, you know your phone's old when you got to use Morse code to text. So, you got to update a SIM card. Most phones don't even have. All right. Anyway. So,
I know.
So, we were just getting in some funny stories that had happened. There's one I requested, and then there's one you're going to give us. And so, this is called our gem session. So you're going to give us a couple of gems, a couple of funny things that we're going to post up on the podcast earlier. So you had an incident when you were practicing driving. This is one of my favorite stories, right?
Oh, I have a lot of incidents.
Yeah, but the one you know that I'm not talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Help us help you. Please tell the story.
Okay. So I grew up in the pavement jungle, okay? The city. There are no back roads. There are no fields. There's none of that. So when I was 15, about to take driver's training, mm-hmm. I had never driven a second anywhere. So it was a Sunday night, and we had a Sunday school party at someone's house, an adult party.
So is this literally the first time you've ever driven a vehicle?
First time.
Oh, this is outstanding. Oh, keep going.
And so after the party, it was in the summer, so my dad's like, hey, we're going to go over to 12 Mile in Van Dyke. There's a strip mall over there, and it's 9 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night, something like that. And I just want you to practice driving in the family minivan.
No one will be there. No one will be there. Nothing to hit.
Nobody will be there. Nobody will be there.
Yeah.
So I'm not one of those guys that ever says, I don't know what happened, man. But this is one of those, I don't know what happened, man.
I'm not one of those guys, but I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, so I'm driving my parents' minivan. My sister's in the back. My mom's in the back. My dad's in the front. And I'm just doing circles.
Oh, no, your whole family's there?
The whole family's there. Oh, well, my brother's not around yet, but yes. The whole family. And so I'm just practicing doing circles in the parking lot. That's all that I'm doing. And something happened. I think a demon got inside my brain or something. I don't know what happened.
And it wasn't your fault. It could never be John's fault. No.
I lost control of my parents' minivan, and I drove it.
So you don't know what happened? You weren't, like, scared by a squirrel or, like, you just hit the gas?
I hit the gas and drove my parents' minivan into Bell Tire.
Okay, hold on. Because that's beautiful. You drove it into Bell Tire, which makes me think of the old woman from Discount Tire says, if you don't like the tires, give it back and chuck it through the window. Yeah. So that's going through. But you missed a spot. You can't say you didn't know what happened. Something.
I don't know what happened.
You're doing circles and you're coasting?
I'm just.
Like you're tapping the gas?
Yes.
And maybe you meant to hit the brake and you just punched the. Why were you close to the building?
I don't know. And there are pillars on every side, so it's a miracle that we survived it. And so I drove between the pillars.
So you hit Bell Tire, the building.
I ran through the plate glass window.
Like,
in the store. So there's the minivan, and there's
inside
cash
the store
registers
with new tires.
Right next to each other.
You hit the cash registers.
I was right next to them. I drove through
like
the
you
window.
Could have checked yourself out.
Yes. I drove through the window into the store. My mom is screaming.
You sure?
My sister's crying. My dad's just making sure we're alive at this point.
Yes, and the therapy bills, I bet.
this did happen. Yes.
Oh, this is so... Oh, I'm actually... Oh, I got to get the tear. Oh, that's a gem. So, like, did you want to drive after that?
No.
You're like, okay, the first time I did it was a massive failure. We're just going to move on.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was rough. I was a rough driver early on.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and you said you had a second one, and something about Banana Boat, which is an ice cream place that we have around here.
Yeah.
All right. You imagine that. It was about food. I knew we were going to get there.
So a week ago, my daughter had her very last band concert at Davison High School. That's where she attends. She plays the flute in the band, and she also plays the keyboard in our youth band in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the concert, we're like, let's go get ice cream. So where do you go to get ice cream? You go to Banana Boat on Davison
Soft
Road.
Soft serve with the...
I mean, they give you buckets of ice cream.
You can hear yourself getting fatter while
it's
you're
like
there.
It's like the Tony's of ice cream, basically,
from
Birch Run.
Yeah.
So anyway...
I think there's bacon for one of those, actually.
And so we get there. But here's the thing. My wife always mocks me about this, because when I get ice cream, I like to get bananas and strawberries ice cream.
And she should mock you, just for the record.
She should not.
I'm on her side. I've been there. I've seen it. Okay.
So she's always about chocolate and marshmallow and, you know, cookies and cream and Reese's and all. And I like that stuff too. But I just love bananas and strawberries in my ice cream in a mixer or a, you know, blizzard. And the thing is, like, it's called Banana Boat. Okay. Banana Boat. So we're in there. We're in there and we're about to order, and she's making fun of me. Oh, what are you going to get? Bananas and strawberries. You know, she's making fun of me. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're not even a man. All you like is bananas and strawberries. She doesn't say that, but it was kind of going
that's
like
just your interpretation that you're not a man because she's mocking you.
It's kind of going that way. She looks at the girl at the cash register, and she's like, isn't that pathetic? He wants bananas and strawberries, ice cream. I mean, isn't that and the lady looks at me, and she's like this, and I'm like, don't you say nothing. You know? And so I was a youth pastor for 17 years.
Yeah.
And I worked with adolescents forever, junior hires forever. So in my greatest junior high voice, I look at my wife and I'm like, shut up. Just like that, you know, shut up. You know, and we tease and joke around a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So I tell her to shut up. And I look out of the corner of my eye and there's this couple staring at us. I mean, they saw me tell my wife to shut up and they're staring at us. So I look at them and I'm like, you guys, we're just playing. It's just all fun. You know, I'm just having a good time. It's all fun. And the lady looks at me and she's like, aren't you the pastor of Emmanuel?
I knew that was coming. Oh, God. That is so great.
And I had never seen this lady a second of my life. And so you're like, well, what did you say? And I'm like, you got the wrong guy.
I get that a lot. He's a lot chubbier than I am.
Yeah, so that happened a week ago.
That's awesome. Because we had that incident of the soccer game, that one that I went to. Your son is like, actually, I'm.
Yeah.
I find that so awesome, right? Because it's like once somebody knows you have a position in ministry, like you're not allowed to have, you know, you can't get passionate at games. You can't get frustrated with people. You're not allowed to, you know, make fun or be somebody with your wife. You know, like my favorite thing about your wife is when we were at that Christmas function where you got me that really great present, which worked out well for me on my dad in the end. And because this is a story I'm telling. Because you're a jerk, you know. And so he has me in the group, which I'm not a group guy. And so everybody gets Christmas presents. And you get what? What was that thing called? The cool meter? Was that stupid thing?
The head thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the cool meter. So you have to put
It was like this helmet that had this
giant
propeller on it.
Stick.
Yeah.
And what it was is
looked like a Martian.
Someone would have to like poke you, and you had this remain cool. You couldn't get calm, and it could tell if you were getting frustrated and it would start to go up. And it had this giant, it was like green and then yellow and then red, right?
Yeah.
And it's not working. So he makes the time to get this thing to work, which is hilarious because it took forever because he was bound and determined. We finally get it done. And of course, his whole function is trying to make me not look cool, and you don't look cool with this giant thing on, with this giant thing sticking up that's blinking and whoop.
You should have worn that today.
So, me being who I am, I was like, okay, you got me. That was funny. I was like, I'm going to wear that to church. He was like, you're not. And I was like, and at that moment, when you're like, you're not, I was like, oh, I'm doing it, right? And my wife is like, honey, you're not going to do that. I'm like, oh, I am. So I waited. I tested the waters. And so there was two services, one in the morning and one, you know, traditional older group and then younger group. And the younger group would have thought it was funny. So that was not the place to do it because it needed to be as awkward as possible. So he comes walking in, and I put this helmet on with the thing, and I didn't turn it on, which I thought about doing because it would have been like, whoop, 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 right? And we're sitting there, and I'm going to paraphrase what the lady said. But we're sitting there, and I have this thing on with the dumbest grin I can get. So John walks out. He walks out on the stage, and he's like, oh, my God. And he looks down like this, and he's debating whether or not he's going to say anything. And I knew he had to take into account the crowd, right? I knew you had to. And so you decided not to say anything, which made it better because I wasn't taking it off. And my wife's elbowing me, stop that. And there's a lady over to my left, and I can't see out of my left eye. And I'm paraphrasing what she said. She's like, what the heck is going on right now, right? And they're looking at me like, what is happening? Because I'm sitting there with this giant thing that you gave
this
me.
This Martian just, helmet.
Right. I look like the retarded version of Marvin Martian's cousin, right? And so, but you can't make fun of disabled people, and I'm disabled, so there you go. And we finished. That was hilarious because your face was priceless. Because you want it so bad, and you're sitting there, and you're making a point not to look at me, and I was just, it was so much, this is the type of person that I want to explain to people, so.
I blew that, man. I should have been like, we need an usher right now.
Security. Yeah. So.
That was funny.
That was super fun, right?
Yeah.
So those are going to go into our gym sessions. I got to come up with titles for those, and I will find the dumbest title I can think of for those, for a teenager running into Bell Tire, scaring his entire family to death.
Oh, man.
All right. But we're getting ready to come up on a break, and so we're gonna take the break here in a minute. But when we get back from the break, I want to know, like, what happened in that college transformation time that you went from – this is what I grew up from. I'm definitely going in to be a youth pastor because like ministry is like a very specific work, right? So that's what we're going to look at. If you haven't gone to weareemmanuel.life or eflint.org, the app, go check those out, see what they're doing. Please hit up Spiritual Warfare Unit, like, share, and subscribe. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold. Share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, has some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid signups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really has some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably 200 to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there has been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
So people that are talking about breaking the rules use their fingers to speak to each other. And that's what gangs do to communicate from point A to point B. It's almost like this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years. And people feel like it's a new thing. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That things that are happening in your life today are in here from 2,000 years ago. That's very weird.
You love me too much and let me stay this way.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is John Scaly from Emmanuel, and we are Emmanuel.life. So we're just getting into your college years, and you decided to be a youth pastor because of your youth pastors, right?
Both of them had a huge impact on me.
All right, so went through college, met the wife?
I did not meet my wife until after college. We went to different colleges.
Where'd she go?
She went to Bob Jones University.
Woo!
Yeah.
And you went to?
I went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College.
Oh, Maranatha. All right. Yeah. So you get out. Did you meet at the church? Like, how did that work?
My wife worked at a Christian camp with my sister. So this is how we got connected. But we kind of knew each other at some level through youth activities in high school.
Okay.
So.
All right. And you were how old when you started dating?
We started dating probably, when was it? Like my senior year, 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so did you come right out of college and go right into?
Yeah, 2 weeks out of college, I was in a small church in the middle of nowhere called Goodles, Michigan.
Goodles?
Goodles.
That's a real place?
That's a real place.
Like you can Google Goodles?
Yeah. It's keep going east toward Port Huron. You hit Whale Center Road before you get to Port Huron. That's Goodles.
Goodles.
Yeah.
Well, there's a plug for Goodles.
There you go.
We didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah.
It's outstanding. Yeah. And then how long before you like went from Goodles to?
So I was in Goodles for 5 years.
Okay.
As a youth pastor. And then from there, I became the youth pastor of Cornerstone Baptist in Swartz Creek.
Okay.
And then from there, I became the youth pastor of what's now called the River Church of Goodrich.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was when I first went there, it was Atlas Community Baptist Church. It became the Point Church, and now it's the River Church of Goodrich.
All right, and so from the time you started at Goodles, which that's going to get some run on me, I promise.
Yeah.
So from Goodles to the time you left being a youth pastor for the River Church, how long is that process?
So I was in Goodles and at Cornerstone for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the River for 7 years, and then we've been at Emmanuel for 10 years.
So 16 years. So 16 years of being a youth pastor.
16 to 17, yep.
Okay. And then why did you strike out to be a head, like a head pad? Like what made you make that click?
There's two things that I always say about this. The first one's kind of a joke. I just got sick of getting hit in the face with dodgeballs. That's the first point.
That's part of being a youth pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
You did.
I was very, very physical and active with kids. A lot of, I was not a manager at all. I was very much involved in everything that
they were. So you're a man child.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I was in youth ministry for close to 17 years.
Yeah.
But you can tack on another 10 years onto my life because I did it very aggressively. So I just got to the point of where, getting close to 40 years old, I just wasn't ready.
The energy needed to do that wasn't there.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, Sunday mornings would come, mm-hmm. and there was a real void in my life because I felt like God was leading me to be preaching.
Okay.
But obviously the lead pastor or the campus pastor was preaching, and I was not on Sunday.
So you go to Emmanuel. Now, what year is this that you went from the River to Emmanuel?
It would have been toward the end of 2012. So the end of August, beginning of September 2012.
All right, so you guys went through that big, the drop in 2008, right? The economy and everything was nuts. So you were coming out and you hit now, like, why them? Like, what was the draw?
Of Emmanuel?
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I was never really good at is networking with other churches,
mm-hmm.
but I'm what I call a church junkie. So on vacation, I always check out churches. I love it. Mm-hmm. And just to see, matter of fact, I've been to several churches in the area.
A church junkie.
Yeah, church junkie. So, so what happened was I'd been to Emmanuel a couple times.
Okay.
And so I set up a meeting with the pastor at the time and just wanted to get some information out there and see if he could help me at all. Just networking.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because, like, he ended up telling me after I met with him later that day that he was actually retiring from the ministry, and he would pass my information along. And I didn't know that, so it was a real God thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, so you go in there, and they hire you on. and that was in 2012, you said, right? So that was 10 years ago. Wow.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, that feels weird.
Yeah.
All right, so, and in that 10 years, like, what have you accomplished that you're most excited about? Like, well, if you were to say in that 10 years process, you know, we were able to fix something, we were able to change something, we were able to add something, we were able to do something that that church enabled you to be able to do. Like, what was that thing that that church gave you the ability to do? What do you think?
I always want to say this before I say anything. It's all by God's grace and for God's glory,
right,
and by his strength. I know you know that, but for me in my own life, I always it's important for me to always say
I
that.
Always try to tell you it's not about you, John.
Yeah,
we've had that discussion.
That's right. So by God's grace and God's strength, I mean, the biggest shift in the church's history was a year in, we moved into more of a contemporary model.
Mm-hmm.
So we added, my promise to the church was changes by addition instead of changes by subtraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what do you mean when you say that?
I mean, instead of just going fully contemporary, we added to the church. So,
what does that mean? The contemporary versus what?
Versus a traditional model. So the church is very traditional in the sense of singing hymns, wearing dresses and suits and things like that.
Oh, okay.
More of what churches always kind of look like for several years. You know.
So when you mean contemporary, you mean the way people dressed and the music?
It's a lot of things. The dress is a big part of it. You know, we're a come-as-you-are church as it relates to that.
Mm-hmm.
The music was more of like the pop rock style, more of like what people are used to hearing on the radio, like on Smile FM or K-Love, something like that.
Oh, that devil music you were talking about.
The devil music. Also, just terminology. I taught right away true terminology of understanding, you know, what the church should be. In other words, like the church is not the building. The church is the people.
Yeah.
Ecclesia, the gathering of the people. So right away, the auditorium, the sanctuary, had never really been allowed for the teens to use for their stuff. And right away, we made that change because it's just a room. There's nothing special about it.
Okay.
And so, you know, we don't come to church. We are the church. And so we changed terminology. Those are the kinds of things. But the gathering was the big thing. We went to 1115 contemporary gathering.
What made the 1115 contemporary? Because it wasn't 8:30 or something?
It was contemporary because of the music and the dress and those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right, so and you guys have a model to connect, grow, live, right?
Can I say this real quick? When it relates to the change, the key is like being seeker sensitive in the sense that like we want people to come and feel comfortable.
Seeker sensitive, you said?
Seeker sensitive.
What does that mean?
It means that we want people to come and there's no barriers to them hearing the word of God. Once they hear the word of God, though, we hope that God really convicts them and changes them from the inside out. So that was the big thing. We wanted to be
so
culturally
relevant. You want people
relevant.
To feel comfortable when they come in.
Yeah.
And to do that requires people to understand people are in different positions than they are
in their
religious life, right?
We call it contextualization, too. We wanted to reach de-church people and unchurch people.
Yeah. All right. So the whole purpose was just to make sure that we're still a battleship picking people up that were lost and not a cruise ship that...
Yeah,
that was going along. All right, still the same function. All right, you got to use short terms with me. You know, I ain't as smart as the rest of y'all, so
yeah,
I just want to make sure that us dumb folk could understand. So then you came in there and you guys came up with this Connect, Grow, Live thing. Now, where did you get that from?
Just something that I came up with.
So you came up with that. It's a process the church uses of how people get a hold of people and the process of growth.
Yeah, it's basically a philosophy.
Yeah.
It's really the three words I came up with, but the philosophy is clearly in the Bible. Connect to God in evangelism. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, trusting in him alone by grace through faith, that was so important. So connect to Jesus, connect to others, grow in the word, grow in worship, and live in service and live in love.
Right, so three words he uses, your active words.
Yeah.
All right. So you came up with that, and then you guys were able to expand, and it took, when did that happen? This year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So went to just a Flint campus. It was right on the edge of Flint and Davidson, and this is what gets people funky.
Yeah.
Because they'll come to the Grand Blanc one, which is right on the edge of Grand Blanc and Flint. And they're like, oh, that's a Flint campus. No, that's Grand Blanc. But really, it's kind of the Flint campus, and that's kind of the Davidson campus. Kind of, but it's the opposite, technically. Right?
Yeah, the Flint campus is Flint Township, and we're a quarter of a mile outside of Davidson. So we actually have more Davidson members than Flint members.
All right, and then so the Grand Blanc one, you actually have more Flint members than Grand Blanc members, I think.
Yeah, it's. I don't really know the answer to that, but it's definitely on the edge of Burton, Flint, and Grand Blanc. Yeah.
So, and it seems to be super diverse with the amount of people we have in there, which is which is cool. And so, I wanted to get you on here so people saw you, my friend, who is a pastor and that has two churches, two church campuses of people that are coming together and hanging out and helping people in the community and doing good. And you've been pushing that and your team's been pushing that. And let me give a shout out to my boy, Dan, the assistant, because the assistants never get a shout out and he makes you look good, but he's doing all the work and we know this. So Dan gets a shout out because the assistants we know do most of the work and you got to look good, which is you're being successful at probably. And, but I wanted to tell you, thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
You're, you know, a person who's a community person who is able to go to somebody and say, hey, we're doing these things for a community. Are you interested? And you say yes versus, well, this is our mold and you have to do that mold is great because it allows for us to be able to reach out to more people and help people. And so you guys were really great help in the community task force and getting the food out, which was insane during COVID. And I just want to tell you thank you for that. I want to tell you thank you just for being a normal human being. And I wanted people to get to see my friend John as my friend John. And I just want to thank you for coming on. If you've not gone to weareemmanuel.life, you have missed your opportunity. Just kidding. You can check it out anytime you want. The internet never dies. And if you want to check out the app, it's eflint.org. It's a little E. Click on that. You can go check out the things they're doing. If you need help, you need someone to talk to, I'd call Dan, not John. And, buddy, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you for watching, and we will see you next week. Do you have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much. Songs of praise, proclaiming